Hallelujah. Amen. So we're coming up this week. Remember to be prayerful. Many of us will be on the road headed to Ohio for some nice, warm, balmy weather. And the basketball tournament again, it's been a great opportunity over the years, of course, to share the gospel. And that's primarily why we're going. So we don't want to forget why we're going, amen? And be prayerful. It has, we're always thankful when we can play and win. But, you know, it's about spreading the gospel. There's many different ways that we can affect that. And so this is just one of them. And so the most important thing is that when we leave that place, we've shared the gospel. We've left a testimony of young people and parents. You know, usually in these sporting events, parents are worse than the kids in their behavior, and that we could be truly epistles that are read of men, that people would understand very clearly, this isn't where our treasures are. And, you know, we've been fortunate over the years to win. We go expecting this year nothing less. If you don't think you're going to win, don't go. You know, and so as long as you have five smooth stones and God on your side, there's a victory waiting. Amen. But just to remember to hold us up in prayer, and it'll be a good time together. So we'll be heading out Wednesday morning, so be prayerful. We'll be gone for a few services. After coming back from Ohio, that John will be ministering here and taking Wednesday and Sunday services. And so we'll be in Ohio, and then getting away and gonna go to Florida for a couple of days. Thank everybody for the gifts that you gave for our spiritual birthday. And we'll be using all of that to go down to Sarasota and watch the Orioles in spring training and catch a few ball games and lay on the beach and maybe skip a few innings and lay on the beach. And so looking forward to that time, and also just being refreshed in the Lord. And the Holy Spirit's been speaking to us, amen? No question about it. God's been ministering in these last months to us in a special way. We've had some great special visitations. Can't deny that God's been here in this place. And bodies have been touched, lives have been touched, and we just give Him all the praise. We've got some great testimonies that are ahead, like we had Wednesday night. I've talked to a few people that are pending, and the testimonies were beyond what I remembered. I mean, some tremendous things that God's done in our midst that we just kind of let go by and take for granted. But you know, most people out on the streets are not that familiar with miracles. And we read about them all the time in the scriptures. We're expecting them. We've seen God's visitations. And so we've got to be very careful that it doesn't become common to us. And as we're sharing with those that we come in contact with, that excitement and that appreciation for the goodness of God is communicated. Amen? People need to know how thankful you are for what God's done for you. We're sure living in a world that's not very thankful for anything. We're living in a world where people have been taught to believe that they have a right to receive and this entitlement mentality. The millennialists today, you know, and the mentality of, though it's not a welfare mentality, it's the Fokker mentality. And, you know, they think they should receive a bonus for showing up to work on time. And the privilege that the world has of their existence. and told how special they are and how great they are. And so we live in the midst of this kind of an environment. But when we come into the presence of Almighty God and His great glory shines upon us, we realize how undone we are, amen? And how destitute we really are. And how depraved we really are. And then His love shines upon us and we see how loved we are. And the free gift that's been given to redeem us to Himself. And now we're no longer enemies and destitute, but we're friends of God. We're sons of God, heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We have a lot to be thankful for. Hallelujah. Does it burn in your heart, the thankfulness? You know, do we rise every morning and give Him praise for His goodness in redeeming us and calling us His children? How privileged we are. You know, we'll stand back, many of us, and look at it in the natural. We'll look at wealthy children, those that have been, you know, born with a silver spoon in their mouth. And we look at these kids and sometimes we'll even comment and say, man, they don't appreciate anything they have. And you know what? Many of them don't. It's hard to appreciate it when it's always given to you and it's always there. You know, like what God does for us. He's always there. His blessings are always there. His love is always there. You know, we live in the midst of a generation when not many people are loved. Really not. How tragic, this boy that was just shot. You know, we've played those kids in basketball. I don't know if we played them this year, but some of you may have heard on the news, the mother that shot her boy to death, they had an argument and she killed him. What kind of an argument must that be when you shoot your own child? A Christian home. Professed Christian anyway. Not many people are loved. And you are loved, amen? And I'm loved. We have a lot to be thankful for. And so as we rise every morning and give thanks, and I want to take just a minute tonight and just encourage our hearts in that again. Because as we've been teaching on faith and the fact that many of us are standing and warring and having done all to stand, we just stand, amen? And we're admonished in the scriptures, be not weary in well-doing. In due season, you will reap if you don't faint. But you know, we get tired. Anybody tired of waiting? I would say EG is. I would say Kate is. I would say some of the rest of you who have fought and are continuing to fight this warfare against the consequences of sin in the world. But we're not to think it's strange. There's a lot of people going through what we're going through and don't have Jesus. Amen? Oh, we got a lot to be thankful for. You know, cancer just isn't quite as bad when you have Jesus. The death of a child, tragic, horrendous, disastrous, but it's not quite as bad when you have hope and you have Jesus. We have a lot to be thankful for. What we're experiencing is common to the world. Don't think it's strange when these fiery trials come upon us, the scripture says. We not only are facing the natural consequences of sin reigning in the world today, disaster, sickness, disease, tragedies, That's common to man. That's the consequences of sin. We not only have the general consequences of sin, we're under the attack personally of the devil. But we've got a lot to be thankful for, praise God. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, amen? We have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I will never leave you nor forsake you, hallelujah. Oh, we're blessed, hallelujah. And so in the midst of standing and teaching to stand in faith and not to be overcome by circumstances, in understanding, we all know that we become weary in this warfare. Many of us having the tendency at times to ask why. We're going to take a moment and look at some of these aspects today. But I just want to encourage us a little bit tonight in the fact that even though you may be facing certain things that are way beyond your comprehension, we only have to arrive at one biblical truth to be able to draw on that great spiritual divine rest that God admonishes us to. And that's the understanding that for eternity, in infinity, in infinitude, God is good. Amen? Have you arrived at that through the circumstances? Have you arrived at that through the teachings? Through all of the teaching on faith that we've been given and the warfare and the need to stand? We've tried to bring that message right alongside of the goodness of God and the sovereignty of God and that you're not subject to fate. You know, I know through the trials of life, the one thing that just has been such a strength to me is not only realizing that I'm not alone in the trial, but that God has control of the trial. Amen? That's what brings a rest. That I'm here for a purpose and I'm here for a reason. I hate being subject to chance. Don't you? But I want to come to the place where I have no problem submitting to God's will. And so as God represents himself constantly to us as Almighty God, the omniscient one. If he is all wise, then his plan for you and where you are this moment is the best plan that could ever be put into being. Amen? Amen? There are no mistakes. God in his infinite wisdom has brought you right where you are tonight. Through all the pain, the suffering, the heart agonies, the fears, the doubts, the tears, the anger. Let me remind you of Romans 8:28. All of us know it, but bless God if we could come to live in it, what peace it would bring. All things work ultimately under the sovereign wisdom of God for your good. Amen? If you love him, and are called to his purposes, subordinate to his purposes. You mean what I'm going through right now is ultimately going to work out something good for God? It's going to bring honor to God. It's going to bring glory to God. It's ultimately going to affect his will on the earth. Isn't that where we're to pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Do you pray that? Do you want his will? Then where we are tonight, we find ourselves in the sovereign will of God, and he ought to be praised and thanked. Amen. Amen. He ought to be recognized as great, that there are no mistakes, that this is absolutely the best thing that could ever happen to me. Lord, increase our faith. Amen. Amen. You know, we say we believe in God's sovereignty. But if we believe in the sovereignty of God, we've got to take it beyond believing just in consequences in our life. To believe in the sovereignty of God is to first of all recognize who He is. To recognize His infinite holiness. His infinite righteousness. His infinite wisdom. God is not wise. He is all wise. Amen? Omniscient. Not only infinitely wise, but eternally wise. And I'll show you this as we look over at Ephesians. Look over that for just a moment. In Ephesians. When we talk about eternally, we know what infinite means. It just means without measure. There is no end to it. It can't be measured. There's nothing in the natural scope that it can be compared to. You can take all of the human genius that's ever lived, whether it's your Einsteins, your philosophers, your Platos and Socrates, your Da Vinci's, your little wheelchair guy, can't remember his name right now, and you put them all together, and it's foolishness compared to God. The little things of God's infinite wisdom and power that they've just made little scratch into as they peer through this dark glass doesn't even move the needle on the scale. And before you were born, He had already worked out your plan. Hallelujah. No, He didn't predestine you. He foreknew. He looked on beginning to end at one time. Because He's not governed by time and space. He sees all time in one glance. He knows every man's heart, so He knew every decision before you made it. And in His infinite wisdom, He brought you counselors. He put up roadblocks. And we break right through them and refuse counsel and go and do our will, which is ultimately His will. And awaits each and every one of us to ultimately bow our hearts . One of the old evangelists said, you might as well give God your life. You're not doing very well with it. So why not trust God? Amen. But this Ephesians 1 passage is so powerful. I love that the wisdom that comes to us in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that in that dispensation, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Hallelujah. Some of us are waiting for our inheritance. I know if time goes on much longer, my inheritance will be a bill. And some of us await an inheritance. But look at what our inheritance is. We, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will. Hallelujah. What's that say? God's in charge. God has predestined us to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And all of life is what makes us come to that conformity. Amen? Everything we experience is the consequence of God's desire, His predestination of us into the image of Christ. It all works together for good. Oh, I understand the heartaches and the process, all of the chastening. And remember, chastisement is we so often think of it as punitive. Chastisement is not just punitive. It's not just punishment. It's correction. It's instruction. The scripture says that that instruction is a manner of life for us. It's just always going to be. And we just want to take a little time tonight and realize then, you know, I lose sight so easily of eternity. The scripture tells us this life is just a vapor. Oh, I know it seems long, the suffering. There is nothing longer than that pain and loneliness in the middle of the night when everyone else sleeps. And because of the torment of your mind or the pain of your body, you lie there and hear every tick of the clock. But it's just a vapor. This life is here today and gone tomorrow. God is preparing us for eternity. He's gone to prepare a place for us and will come and receive us to Himself. Hallelujah. And so we just want to look and remind ourselves, God's in charge of this thing. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. And part of what we want to talk about tonight is as we're talking about the need to stand in faith, one of the natural things that we're going to face, and I've already talked to two or three people about this in the last week, is that when we begin to hear testimonies, we begin to see miracles in other people's lives, the tendency to ask, well, why not me? Why not mine? Satan is sure there to be the accuser of the brethren and tell you there's a reason, right? But God's working all things after the counsel of His own will. Stop trying to figure it out. Stop worrying about it. Stop murmuring. Amen? And stop judging God. Because you don't have a clue how good a thing He's preparing for you. And that's where genuine faith comes in. This faith to be able to stand and declare the greatness of God and the mercy of the Lord. Proverbs 19 speaks to it. Turn over there for just a moment. And we're all familiar with this verse. We won't spend a lot of time on it. But in this 19th chapter, the Proverbs, verse 21, there are many devices in a man's heart. Now we know that that word means, you know, projects that we've established. But as we're talking tonight, think of it as, you know, the thought patterns, what we've already planned, how we think God's going to work this thing out. We know that God's good. We know that the word is true. And therefore, it probably will happen like this. And it will cause me no pain or inconvenience. In the midst of it, I will be elevated, delivered, made whole and prospered. Thy will be done. And so man thinks of himself too highly. It's common, it's innate within every one of our depraved bodies and minds. Remember when Paul says, in me that is in my flesh dwells no good thing, that includes your brain. And what arrogance we show as we elevate our will and our wisdom above God. When we tell him he doesn't understand. You don't understand, God, the things that I've suffered. He not only bore your incomprehensible situation, he's borne every man who ever lived and will live's circumstances on himself at one time. He understands. Amen. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, praise God. He knows. He's been there. And so he prays for us. And he has compassion for us. And he shares with us, I know what's in you, and I know there are many devices, and there's man's wisdom that you try to apply in so many circumstances. But just come to the realization, beloved, it's the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. Hallelujah. Are you ready to subordinate to his will? To his counsel? Yeah, amen. I'm going to. So Lord, tonight I just want you to know, whatever your will is for my life, I receive it. Hallelujah. Okay. That's settled once and for all. Boy, Jesus would have liked to have settled it that easily. He was driven by the Holy Ghost into the desert to be tempted of the devil. He was without food and water. He was under demonic attack. He was tempted in every way. It was necessary that angels would come and minister to him at that given point. As we saw this morning in Gethsemane's garden, he agonized. He sweat drops of blood. He sought for help and said, please stand with me. Would you people please pray with me? We call our best friends. We ask somebody, can somebody get a hold and touch my heart? Can somebody feel with me this pain? And tragically, most of us have to just look around at all of our best friends and say, sleep on. It's just so natural that we're swept away with our own problems. They had their own depression they were fighting through. The scripture says that very clearly, how depressed the disciples were at that moment. Only one person can be touched with what you're feeling at this moment, and that's Jesus. He's the only guy that's been there. He's walked in your shoes and mine and everybody else's. And he reminds us, as we shared just a few sessions back, I'm praying for you. Oh, the devil desires to sift you, to steal your faith, to accuse you and cast you down. Those of you that I've spoken to who have been even angry with yourself because of some of the things that have risen in your heart of asking God why or judging God. Why did they get healed? Why haven't we? Why haven't mine? How come they're prospering? I mean, all of these things, and we've talked to different ones, and the accuser of the brethren comes and casts you down. Let me remind you of something tonight. The good man falls seven times but gets up. Amen? Hallelujah. It's not whether you fell, it's whether you're going to get up or not. Because faithful is he who called you, who will do it, praise God. Having done all, stand. Be not weary in well-doing, in due season you will reap if you don't faint, hallelujah. God's got this thing under control. Can we acknowledge it? Can we acknowledge it really with praise and with thanksgiving? We talked about this a couple of sessions back. Beloved, we've got to discipline ourselves to stop, to pull down every evil imagination, every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Pull it down. Step back. Look at the Word. And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. Amen? I feel like crying. I want to murmur, but I'm going to give thanks because God's good. And his ways are just and true. Because his mercies endure forever. Is that where you find your heart tonight? You see, when we think about the sovereignty of God, let's remember that that power originates within a being, a person, someone that you can talk to, fellowship with, who has intellect. Or I guess better, gave us intellect. Some shortchanged a little, but we all have it, praise God. We're above the animals, amen? We can reason. Come, let us reason together. And so let's step back and look at life and let's be reasonable for just a moment. If an almighty, all good God is ordering our steps, then we ought to be singing and dancing and shouting praises. Because our faith is the victory. Hallelujah. Oh, but for this interim period called life, don't you wish you could say it and really mean it? To die is gain. Really looking forward to this part of my life. Life being over. That I might fellowship and see him and know him. Oh, all that he's put within us. That causes us to cling to our last breath. Is a gift from him. Life is precious. I'm not talking about failing to realize those glimpses that we get. Can you imagine what our relationships would be and what our state would be if Adam hadn't fallen? Hallelujah. I don't know how it would work, but it would be something like cow, turn into a fillet. I'm hungry, man. You know, there it is. Because they were all created for us. Amen. God meant life and fellowship and communion with him to be infinitely good, to be intimate, that he could lavish his love upon us. And sin has brought this wedge between depraved man and God, that Jesus came and broke the power of sin. The consequences are still here. The power has been broken. The right to fellowship with God has been entrusted to us. And now we have that bold access that we could come and he could become all in all to us. And yet we're still being seduced by all of these natural perverted appetites. Perverted being that its origin is not in God. And so God's good. He's working all things after the counsel of his will. The counsel of the Lord shall stand. Hallelujah. But we get so distracted by temporal things. We find ourselves in these distractions, you know, that we begin to step back and use our natural minds and begin to analyze. Have you ever thought or have you ever spoken, and I know we've heard people say it, if I was God, you're not. Just thought I'd remind you tonight in case anybody had forgotten. If I were God, if you were God, the rest of us would be in big trouble. And he's spoken to us. And he's admonished us to find that place of rest and to stop thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We're all familiar with Isaiah. Turn over there for just a moment. But, you know, in Isaiah, in that 55th chapter, everyone here is familiar and probably too familiar with this truth. But we're called in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, as we quoted earlier, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Are you there yet? James tells us, count it all joy when you fall into these different temptations, tests, and trials. Count it joy when God brings you into a situation to give you a glimpse of your own heart. That's what trials are. Trials are just a way of God saying, here, take a glimpse of where you really are. It's a test. It's just a test. It just gives us a little bit of insight into where we are, where our understanding is, what we know, how committed we truly are. How much faith is really working in us? In everything, give thanks. For every test, give thanks. Now, when I was in school, I didn't get a lot of good reports. But I was able to soothe myself with my grades in school if my batting average was going up. Because I had plans. And we've proven today in Major League Baseball that you don't have to speak English to make a good living. Like, what is it now? 60% of Major League Baseball players speak Spanish, I think. Dominican, Cuba, all through those different regions. the tests of life. He says in Isaiah 55, look at it. Verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, what do you think? We can quote it. What do you think? Do you believe it? So are my ways higher than your ways. Oh, I believe that. Then why aren't you giving thanks? Then why aren't you getting on with the program if his ways are best? Then why does plan B still exist in your mind? And he goes on and he says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Oh, that we would come to believe that. Now we know the difference. I'm not talking about memorizing the verse. We're talking about believing it. The word believe means to apply corresponding action. That's what the word believe means. You don't believe something until you act on it. You know, the one thing I like about our president, you may not like his policies. I don't know who you voted for. You may not like the guy. I don't like everything he does. But I'll tell you one thing, it is absolutely refreshing having some dude do what he said he was going to do. That to me is refreshing. I love that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do that. And boom, it starts getting done. Go for it, Jack. At least we know where you're headed. If after 4 years we don't like the course we're on, we'll get rid of you. But at least you're not lying to us. You know, politician and lying are synonymous. Well, for us to say we believe something and then not put our lives into action in that direction. Again, you want to know why this guy is not moved by all of this nonsense that's going on with the news media and all of the different things? He really believes in what he's doing. He's got conviction. There's not a lot of people that have conviction today. People will be swayed by opposition. You want to know how much conviction somebody has? Put a gun to their head. A lot of our brothers and sisters in the church face that, and they had conviction. Amen? If you believe it, you could be like old Sanford, man. That guy put that gun to your head and say, I'm coming home, Elizabeth. Anybody remember Sanford and Son? It's the big one, Elizabeth. I'm coming home, you know. They put the gun up to your head and say, you deny Jesus or I'm going to kill you. You say, I'm coming home, praise God. Pull the trigger. Because I will not deny Jesus. Conviction. Not preference. You know, my preferences are that it be this way. But if it gets too tough and the opposition too hard and it costs me too much, I'll settle for something else. That's preference. This life that you and I are living is a life of conviction. Amen? Faith is a conviction. Belief is a conviction. And so right here we see him speaking to us and saying, look, I want you to understand something. My ways are far above your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. If we believe that, then we, like Jesus, say, not my will, thy will be done. And in the midst of the circumstances, we rise up and give thanks. Ephesians 5:20 says, give thanks always for all things. Amen. You mean we're to specifically sit down and go, oh, I am so thankful that, you know, my trial's on drugs. That's not what that's saying. It's saying what Romans 8:28 is saying. Yes, this hurts. Yes, I would rather have things different than this. But it's going to work out for good. Hallelujah. It'll turn for good. God turns all things for good to those that love Him and are called according to His purposes. And so the fact that someone gets delivered and you don't, doesn't mean you don't have faith. And it surely doesn't mean that God's a respecter of persons. What it means is, God is sovereign and there's still things that He's working in your plan that will ultimately come out for your best. No, this is my, this, the best is for this to happen right now. You're back in unbelief. You can't just take a scripture and say, by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed, and then at the same time deny God's sovereignty and think you're in faith. If you can't accept what God is sovereignly choosing for you, then you cannot believe that you're healed or that you're praying effectually a prayer of faith. Ultimately, we've got to come to that place of ceasing from our own labors, Hebrews chapter 4, that we might enter into God's rest. Amen? Got to get quiet. Got to die. Got to shut your mind down. Got to shut your mouth up. Your ways are higher than my ways. Why would we even begin to question? We just saw it's His wisdom that's going to stand. Amen? And how vital it is that we teach this to our children. Psalm 145. Read the whole thing. Verses 1 through 21. We'll praise His name forever. We'll give thanks unto the Lord. The Lord is great. The Lord is good. The Lord is merciful. His mercies endure forever. And the scripture goes on and says, and let it be from one generation to the next. Amen? Your kids need to see you thankful for what God's doing. Instead of complaining. Instead of questioning. Instead of all of the plan B's for when God fails. Don't just be looking for proof texts of scripture that you can try to get faith enough to manipulate these certain circumstances, physical healing, mental anguish, certain aspects of financial insecurity, and we're going to just believe God for those things. Stop trying to believe on things that you have specifically put priority upon and just get to where you can believe in the goodness and the wisdom of Father. And that He then will begin to guide your steps. As 55 goes on, look what the next verse is after that passage that we've read that we know so well. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, without watering the earth so that it might bring forth, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I have sent it. Praise God. God's got a plan. He's going to send His word. It will accomplish His will. And one thing we can count on, we can take it to the bank. It is not going to turn out the way you think it is. Well, Lord, I just want you to explain it to me. If he did, you're not smart enough to understand it. His ways are above your ways. His wisdom transcends. How are you going to understand God weaving thousands of lives together so that each one of them can be autonomous? So that each individual can have free will, free moral agencies, and yet intertwine every one of these lives and it work out best for everybody? We can't even keep ourselves in step. But we want God to explain to us. Why don't we just give him thanks for where he's brought us and for where he's taking us? Because the Lord is good and his mercies endure forever. Hallelujah. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And so when we look at life circumstances and we don't understand, just praise him. When your heart's breaking in the night, then just rise up and declare that though weeping endure for the night, joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. And that in the great purpose and sovereignty of God, he will work all of these things together for that which is good. Father, we thank you tonight for your goodness and your mercies to us. We thank you, Lord, that in all of your ways you've always been just and you always will be. Your ways are so far beyond our ways, Lord, we're incapable of understanding them. But you've declared to us in your word as your people were just walking in what they knew to do and preaching the gospel. As they were persecuted and abused and beaten. You said, Lord, our desire is that you do whatsoever your hand and your counsel has determined. The determinate counsel of God from before the foundations of the world. We trust in you. Let us not be ashamed. Let not our enemies triumph over us. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Lord, you're my shield. Your ways are too high for us. We have no business delving into these questions. When James is martyred and Peter is delivered from prison, the only thing we can do is rise up and give you thanks. Hallelujah. So I pray, Father, your grace and your peace upon your people tonight. You've shown us your will that none would perish. You've shown us your will that all would be healed. You've shown us your will that we could ask whatsoever. We will. That corresponds with your promises, and it should be done unto us. And so without placing burden upon you to answer to us, we just say thank you for the victory. Thank you for the price paid. Thank you for an eternal promise that though heaven and earth would pass away, there's not one jot or tittle that will not be fulfilled. Our goings are of you, Lord. How can a man understand his own ways? So let us tonight lift our voices in praise and thanksgiving and declare how good you truly are. Let us leave this place tonight with an assurance in our heart that not one good thing will ever be withheld from us. And that you are working everything after the counsel of your will to our good for your glory. And we receive that done in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Turn to somebody next to you and say, God's doing a good job. Hallelujah. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.